Today on a chilling episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, when an emergency services officer for a well-known mining company works a late shift, not only is the atmosphere charged with anxious energy due to an equipment fire, but could it also be charged with the energy of a spirit from the past? A spirit who may have once worked the mine in life, now standing by on the other side to warn the living of potential dangers. That story and much more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We would absolutely love to hear them. Of course, you can also write in at realghoststoriesonline.com and help support the show. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. There you get access to all the bonus episodes, the advanced episodes, and so much more. It is all there for you. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. It's Tony and Carol Hughes with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Well, not too much, Tony. How's it going with you?
You know, just keeping it real.
Living the dream. Ready to get a guy with his new swimming pool.
But I can't go in it because I have this lovely cast thing on my arm.
That's right.
So,
just kind of like you have been waiting so long to get that pool.
Uh-huh.
And I've wanted it for a very, very long time. Mm-hmm. And it's really beautiful, I will add, because I saw it when I was there, but didn't have any water in it. So this is just plain cruel that you finally get the pool and get water in it and you can't get your body in it.
I know. It is.
You get
it
your feet in it.
I know. But I get this thing off on Wednesday. By the time this airs, it'll have been off for a while. But so I'm excited to see what my new robotic arm looks like. Every time we're out somewhere, people will ask, you know, what happened? And Harper likes to join in on this game now too. So the other day we were out at a Subway restaurant and, somebody came in like, oh, what happened to you? And Harper immediately, jumps in. He was attacked by a wild, what was it? I'm trying to think of the animal. It's like a llama, but it's not.
Alpaca.
Alpaca. He was attacked by a wild alpaca that bit his arm. And the guy looks at me like, really?
Holy shit, dude.
And I said, yeah. I said, it had rabies. I said, I was trying to save some kittens from a burning tree. And then Harper just, he's like, and then that alpaca just came up out of nowhere. And
oh my God, I can totally see her doing that too.
She does. And her new one is when somebody asks like what happened, she chimes in and goes, oh, it's a new bionic arm. It's powered by Alexa. Alexa, move arm up. And then I move my arm up. Alexa, extend fingers.
I don't know why that's making me laugh so hard, but that's really funny.
Yeah, so that's what we've been. She came up with that one all on her own.
Oh, that's funny.
It's a trip living with her because she is just she's like another set of my mind, but it's going in places I don't even know where it's going. So it's very random, and but it's like totally like, oh, I would, that's a great idea.
She's just unusually bright for a 9-year-old. Not like there's a, you know, I'm not saying other people's 9-year-olds are stupid.
They're all dumbasses except for Harper. I mean, let's be honest.
But she's just got this kind of different outlook on life. And I don't know. I kind of attribute it to the fact that you've never really treated her like a kid.
Yeah.
I mean, that said, you let her be a kid.
Yes.
But you've never talked to her the way a lot of people talk to kids.
Mm hmm. Yeah, I want her to be a kid and do her kid things, and I let her do it. But I would, I never like baby talked to her. I never was like, or there's a potty time. You know, it's more like, you're in the bathroom. Okay, good, go. It just, I don't know. And we've just always communicated like that. And, you know, she's just a wonderful little human being.
Yeah, some of them responded to that baby talk, but Harper wasn't that kid.
No.
She just, you know.
No, so I mean, she flipped me off the first time I tried to talk to her like that.
Exactly. What are you doing?
I'm like, what are you doing? Like, why are you flipping me off? I have a picture of her on my lap one night when she was like super little, and she flipped me off. I'm not even kidding.
Oh, that's funny.
I have a picture of her, like, and she has this real look on her face, a very determined, like, kind of pout, like, better stop that. This child is crazy. But no, she's always been Harper. 855-853-4802. Our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first letter of the night. It says, my name is Matt. I work in Pilbara region of Australia, which is in the northern parts of Western Australia. The Pilbara region is well known for spiritual activity, where red-eyed demons and just weird shit happens. Over my many years working in the Pilbara region, I've had a few interesting experiences myself and a few from other colleagues I trust. So I'll give you one of each now. I work as an emergency services officer for a fairly well-known mining company. I was on station by myself one shift. My work colleagues were out in the mining pit inspecting a small fire and a piece of machinery. While I was conducting a routine check of our medical supplies and drugs in a small room we called the pharmacy, I heard and saw the door handle to the small room I was in begin to shake, as if someone was attempting to open the door to get in. But the door is always locked. The door requires a swipe access card to unlock through the door. I didn't think much of it at the time, and though maybe one of the fire trucks had gotten back early, so I opened the door to see who it was, but there was no one there. I found this odd because the time it took me to open the door from the handle shaking did not allow enough time for anyone to walk away from the door without being seen. I inspected the office area, which is three locked and secured swipe card access doors to enter, two of which access the engine room where we keep the fire appliances and ambulances, and another that accesses the waiting room for our patients, all of which were closed, locked, and when opened, scuff across the ground, causing a reasonable amount of noise in which I did not hear any of them open or close. The area was empty, and I was still the only person on station. When my remaining work colleagues arrived back on station, I asked them if any of them had come back to the station earlier. They all denied coming back early. Thought very how odd. I have a lot more stories from my time in mining, and for now, I'd like to share just one more. This experience did not happen to me, rather one of my colleagues, a colleague I trust, and a story I found very interesting. A philanthropist I work with was in his accommodation room. We work FIFO file life, fly in, fly out. We generally spend 8 days at work at the time, but some who work FIFO can work up to 4 to 5 week swings. Around midnight, he was fast asleep. He does not drink and is a bit of a health freak. And on this night, he woke up to the sound of his bedroom shower running. Knowing he had not left his shower on before going to bed, he got up to have a look. As he approached the bathroom door, the sound of the running shower stopped. He opened the door, switched on the light. His whole bathroom was fogged up from the steam of the shower. Now, this freaked him out a bit, but he managed to get back to sleep for the night, in which nothing else had happened. The next day, he contacted the reception desk to change rooms. I asked him where the room was, in which he described. It was a block of rooms on the eastern outskirts of the 1,800-man camp. From my time in this camp, I'm fairly familiar with experiences people have told me from rooms in that area. People feel like they're constantly being watched. People feel that things move around in the room. People often feel so uncomfortable that they never spend more than one night in the room. Like I said before, I have many more interesting stories of interesting encounters from the Pilbara region. Even one in which a person was attacked physically while in their place of work. If you'd like me to write in again, please let me know. Until then, this EPP member needs to get back to camp and sleep. Thanks again, Matt. And yes, Matt, of course, we'd like to hear more of those stories. Yes.
Thoughts on that? Okay, so that sounds like a really crazy job.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't totally understand what exactly they did. Because he was saying mining.
It's some sort of a security manager type thing at a mining company.
So it's kind of like a camp. So that's where people would, by camp, I mean, like, since you have to stay there for so long.
It's like
their little town.
Yeah, it's the accommodations for the employees.
It just, like, It's like bad enough that you got to be there for 8 days straight or 4 to 5 weeks. And then if you got to live with haunted shit on top of it.
That'd be a lot.
That would be too much because you can't even get away from it.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be a bit much.
Yes. Write in. I want to hear more of those.
Yeah. Please do. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. And here comes a long one for you. Let's take a listen.
Hey, Tony. My name is Mallory. I live in Stonebank, Wisconsin. I just want to start off by saying thank you because I have had several things happen in my life since we moved into this house, and your podcasts have made me feel less crazy. We moved into our house in 2016 in Stonebank. The house was built in 1985, and I am convinced that it's not the house that is haunted, but the land. I'm absolutely convinced. The first thing that ever happened to me was the summer of 2016. My sister and my brother-in-law spent the night with their two daughters, my nieces, one of which has autism, and my two children are the same age. All four of the kids are the same age. And after a few cocktails, we spent the night in a tent. And I woke up in the middle of the night, and I heard clear as day a little girl's voice say, "Okay, you can come out and play now." And I wasn't afraid because immediately I just thought it was like maybe my niece, like my autistic niece, going out in the backyard and wanting to play. So I open the tent and I go outside and there's nothing. It is pitch black outside. And I come back into the tent and all four of the kids and my sister are sound asleep. And I packed my stuff up and went back to the house as quickly as I could. And that was the first time that this happened. And I know that people kind of believe me, but maybe thought it was a little bit crazy. Then, I work from home. I was walking down. When you walk out of my office door, it is very clear in front of me that there is the basement door. And at that time, and still to this day, we have a chain lock on the basement door to keep the kids out of there because it's unfinished. So that chain lock is always locked. And I was on speakerphone with a coworker of mine. It's around noon in the middle of the day. And, you know, when it's a beautiful summer day and you have all your windows open, the door slams, you don't think twice about it. There's nothing that goes through your head that thinks twice about it because you know the windows are open and a door slammed. This is the dead of winter in Wisconsin, and I'm halfway down the hallway, and I turn just past the basement door, and a door slams. And I paused. I couldn't even breathe. And I remember my partner on the other line saying my name, like, "You there? Are you there? Are you okay?" Like, they heard that. So I walk back, and all I see is the chain lock just swinging back and forth and back and forth. So that was the second real situation, like, occasion that I had experienced. My daughter has experienced a few things up in her bedroom, which I feel like is where most of it comes from. The attic door is in her room off of her closet, and it's locked with a key. I mean, even when we want to show our friends the attic, half the time we have to find the key because we cannot find it. That's how little we go up there. And there was one day in, you know, probably 2017, 2018, she was freezing. She came downstairs and said she was freezing. I went upstairs and that attic door was wide open. Wide open. Made absolutely no sense. The 4th of July last year, and I'm kind of bouncing around. Actually, you know what? I'm going to say the 4th of July because I'm bouncing around. Right around that same time, my daughter came downstairs one day. They get on the bus at 7:10 in the morning, very early. And I've been very cautious not to talk about any of this in front of our kids because it's scary. She came down at 7 o'clock in the morning, absolutely terrified. I mean, you can't make this up. She said that her blinds had pulled out in front of her, like as if somebody was pulling them and slamming them up against the wall. In the summer of 2021, last year, I had two significant things happen to me. And the 4th of July, after we had a significant amount of people over here and everybody was, you know, spent, there was three of us left. We were sitting in the garage and the back garage door was open. And we all saw a person run past the back garage door. And we all saw it. So there was no concern. Like, none of us were scared because we all saw it. We just thought it was one of the party goers just being stupid. And so we walk out to find them, and there was nothing. And then going back and looking at it, the figure looked like a human, but it was way too tall, way too stretched out. And the speed that it ran at was not possible for a human. And what really justified it for me was that I was with two other people and we all saw the exact same thing and thought that was crazy. That same summer, I was ironing clothes, standing at the kitchen table, and my husband actually asked me if I had a stroke because this is crazy. I was only ironing my clothes because there's certain shorts, you know, that are, you gotta iron them or you're not gonna wear them again, or they're just gonna get shoved in your drawer. It was a green pair of like velvety shorts. I ironed them, I turned around, folded them, put them in the basket, turned back around to grab the next thing, and I grabbed the same pair of shorts. And it was a little bit odd, but at the same time, sometimes when you like shorts, you buy more than one, and so I just assumed, you know, I probably just bought more than one. So I ironed them, folded them, threw them in the basket next to me, turned around, and the same shorts were in the basket, crumpled up. And I went and woke my husband up. And I think at this point, he thought I was crazy. He did think I was crazy. He asked me if I had a stroke. And then nothing happened again until just a few months ago in 2022. You know, the kids have to get on the bus, like I said, at 7 o'clock in the morning. So mornings can be hectic. Sometimes it's a great morning and sometimes it's not, but it's never a real, you know, a real smooth morning at 7 o'clock. But there was something about this morning, you know, I woke up at 7 o'clock. I woke up just in time to go crawl in bed with both kids and wake them up. Relaxing, wake them up. Like, hey, is everything okay? Like, let's just have a good day. Now, mind you, when my husband texts me in the morning, my phone is plugged in to my headboard, and then my phone is on my nightstand. And sorry, I need to take it. Okay. I'm gonna just pause for a second because this is okay. I'm sure you can edit this all up. So it was a really good morning. My kids get on the bus at 7 o'clock. This morning I was up earlier than them, like way earlier than usual. Great morning. We had just had a new bed where the USB for my phone charger plugs into my headboard and my phone was always on my nightstand. And naturally every morning my husband's giving me a wake up call. I take my phone, I'm like, hey, yep, we're up, and I chuck it on my bed, right? Chuck my phone on my bed, whatever, move on. So I go upstairs, and I lay in bed with my daughter, never happens. We never have this much time. Lay in bed with my son, never have this much time. It was a fantastic freaking morning. Nobody was fighting. We weren't screaming out where to find shoes or jackets. It was a good morning. So I go into my bedroom to grab my phone because it was snowing. And I just wanted my phone. So I can't find my phone. I flip all my bedroom covers off my bed. I go into my closet where I normally put my phone, like maybe I'll put my phone on the shelf while I was changing. Nothing. Bathroom, nothing. My office, nothing. Cannot find my phone. Go back in the kitchen. I tell the kids, hey, get in the car. I'll be right out there in a second, because at this point now I'm irritated that I can't find my phone and I'm concerned. It's snowing. I don't want to drive without my phone. So I tell them to get in the car and I come back in. I go back into my bedroom. Again, disrupt my bed. I've seen my nightstand a million times. There's no phone there. I mean, you cannot miss this. There is no phone there. And I'm going through everything. Can't find it. Not gonna let the kids be late for school. Get in the car. Take my kids to school. On the way back, I just had this, like, I wanted to call my husband. So, like, we actually had a great day. Great morning, finally. And so I go straight into my office, and if you can picture from what I said earlier, my office is straight down the hallway, and then my bedroom is directly next to my office, kitty corner. So I go straight into my office, and I dial my cell phone from my office phone, and all I hear is brrr, brrr. Well, my phone was not on silent because my husband had just called me. My alarm went off. That does not make sense. So I go back into the hallway and I stand with my back to a closet. And my phone is plugged into the charger that I saw empty multiple times that morning, centered in the middle of my bedroom. I stood there paralyzed for a few minutes. I grabbed that phone as fast as I could. I don't know how I had the balls to grab it. Ran out to my car. Now, mind you, it was a Wisconsin winter, but I had started my car an hour before I dropped my kids off to school. I opened the car door to get into the car. I opened my car door to let my kids out of the car. I opened it again when I got home. I opened again when I got back, when I ran back out there. So I'm in my car, just keep that in the back of your mind, right? So my car door had been opened at least four times, and my car had been running for at least a minimum of an hour. So I'm panicked, and I'm in my car, and all I have is my phone, not my inhaler, not my work, not my backpack, nothing. And I'm panicked because it's 7:15 in the morning. Who am I going to call that does not think I'm crazy? Right? Who am I going to call that does not think I'm crazy? So I decided just to go to my parents' house, which is about, 15 minutes, 12 minutes away in Heartland. And as I'm driving there, I'm passing my good friend's house, who's a doctor, and I just pulled in. Because I was like in panic mode. I called her while I was pulling in. She was getting ready for work. And she said, come on in. I was locked in my car. She watched me from inside her house try to get out of my car. I could not. My doors were either frozen shut or my locks were frozen shut. I turned my car off. I turned it back on. I turned it off. I turned it back on. I was in full-blown panic mode. I felt like an absolute lunatic because I could not get out of my car. And then my girlfriend comes down and just opens my door. So I end up at my parents' house, and I tell my mom everything that happened. And it felt so good to feel justified that everything that happened, it's so crazy to talk about, and
I highly doubt you're going to put me on your radio or your podcast because I'm all over the place. But, like, I just want to thank you because I'm not scared of my house. I'm not. People ask me, like, how can you not? I'm not. I don't think my house was built in 1985. I do think there was a lot of weird things the family before us did, but I don't think your house is haunted. I think the land in Stone Bank is absolutely haunted. And I think that if you're open to it, you're more welcoming of it. And I'm not scared to be here. I still work here by myself. I'm still here all the time alone. I'm not scared to be here. But I'm more frustrated that I've had these experiences and that I feel crazy about it. And recently, actually, my husband has told me that he has had two experiences, but he doesn't want to talk about it. So I'd be really curious to know what has happened to him. But Tony, I just want to say thank you. I almost don't want you to put this on the podcast. Maybe we can redo this because I'm just jabbering. But if it wasn't for your podcast, I would feel like a crazy lady. What you do makes me feel like I'm not crazy and that there is a community of truth and there's people out there that will listen, and that's it. I've been wanting to talk to you for a while, and I hope you have a great night.
Thank you for sharing that story with us, and I'm glad that we can make you feel not crazy.
You know, as I was listening to that story about halfway through or something, she lost track of what she's saying or got distracted. And she goes, well, you can edit that part out. But that's what makes it so real, is mm-hmm. that when you listen to her tell the story, like, that's true. Like, that shit happened to her. Mm-hmm. Like, you can tell. And that's what I like about this, is hearing those stories from, especially I like hearing them from people, because you can really hear it in their voices.
Yeah.
And that was very traumatizing for her.
Yeah, without a doubt.
The thing is I don't doubt one word she said.
No.
I'm all in 100%. Like, I don't think she's crazy. I think all that shit happened to her. Why, how? I don't know that part.
Yeah.
But it's now how she's not really, I think I'd be really terrified of living in the house. Because it's not the over the top crazy shit. Because sometimes we get those stories and they're just so over the top, and this happened and then this bigger thing happened and yeah. that bigger thing happened. And I frequently don't totally believe them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But I mean, at the same time, who am I to judge? But sometimes the bigger the story is, the less I believe it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or parts of it, maybe. I don't want to imply that, you know, people are just full of shit. Some people are, as we both know. But you know, when it's the littler things like that, mm-hmm. that you can't explain, like the deal with the chain on the lock.
Yeah.
You know, like they never unlocked that. And then it's just dangling there and moving back and forth. And yeah. How did that happen? And what about the phone thing? And it's like stories like that, they just, that's the stuff that's really creepy.
It is, because it's stuff that, you know, in like the phone charger and all that. She knows that what she saw earlier, and then for it to be there, like, it's just, it's real life kind of stuff. It doesn't always have to be, you know, librarian ghost freaking out at you.
That would freak me out too, yeah, or any demon. Too, yeah. Like, I'd be like, keep your demons. I don't want, like, the demon stories are the ones that get stuck in my dreams at night.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's those little things. Like, I find that stuff just terrifying.
I do too, because how do you explain it? It's just like, what on earth just did this, and why? And
why are you effing with me?
Yeah, I agree. Thank you for sharing that story with us. We do greatly, greatly appreciate it. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person. Sign up over at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. It's access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more. It's all there for you. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, For all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.